Let's pray then before we go any farther. Lord, we are grateful for your love for us, for your word, for the truth, for a place to meet. We ask that truly you would just bless our time together today as we look at your word, and then as we just fellowship and eat afterwards. We just thank you already for the food and for your taking care of us. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to take this opportunity to try not only just to speak to us, the graduates. Who graduated in the last 40 years? Raise your hand. All right, because we had some in the first service that graduated past 40 years. Anybody graduate before 1960 from high school? Miss Peggy? Okay, who else is that back there? No, Mr. Coleman? All right, several of y'all. Y'all old. Well, you say, you're not talking to me. Yes, we are. We're talking to everyone. Why? Because the main thing is, even if you're just graduating and the next step, or if you're just living, what are you going to do to keep from wasting your life? You know, whatever time you have left. You say, well, I don't know how long. It doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. You know, what are you going to do with the time you have left? And you graduators, who, how are you going to form everything so that you do not waste your life? How do I do that? There's a little book by John Piper. It's where this idea comes from. A really small paperback book. I encourage you to get it and read it. Doesn't matter if you're just graduating now or if you graduated 40 years ago. There's some things in there just to kind of remind us about how short this life is, what God really wants to do in our life. So there's responsibilities we must act upon, or we will come to the end of our life and say, my goodness, I wasted that. You ever talk to anybody 50 years old and say, wow, I wasted 50 years. You know, my grandmother on my father's side came to Christ when she was 75. You know, you look back and she said, I didn't know this then, you know. And how is it you can gear yourself so that 20 years down the road you don't say, and you look back and say, boy, I wasted that. That's the thing. We want to encourage you that are graduating and about to go out on another step. In Mark, it says it's better to lose your life than to waste it, because only what is done in Christ will last. That's a quote from C.T. Studd. He is, I think I put it on here. I'll show it to you in just a moment. He was a famous cricket player, if you know what cricket is. Kind of like would be a famous baseball player for us. And he walked away from that to give his life to missionary service. And you know, that's what some of it was that formed him. That's what he said. If you're going into any kind of different school system after college, this is one thing you just need to know if you don't know already. Our college system has gone down the tubes. Even some of our Christian so-called colleges, it's just on the bottom. I mean, it is. And what they teach is unfortunate. That's what's happened. I want to show you a couple quotes. Did you know that 85 of the first 100 colleges in America were to train preachers? Harvard, Princeton, Yale. That's what they were there for. To teach preachers how to preach. That's what it was. It began in 1701, and Yale was founded to train preachers. The president, Dwight Timothy, was the president from 65 to 1817. And this is what he said to the graduating class. Can you imagine somebody saying this to the graduating class at Yale now? Or just about any university, anywhere. He said, Christ is the only, the true, the living way of access to God. Give up yourselves, therefore, to him with a cordial confidence, and the great work of life is done. When's the last time you heard that? You can't even talk about Jesus now, right? Anywhere. That's what the president said. It was founded as a Christ-centered school. Here are some of the first rules that Harvard had when it started. Look at this one. Everyone shall consider the main end of his life and the studies to know God and Jesus Christ. Everyone. That was the focus. Seeking the Lord giveth wisdom. Everyone shall seriously by prayer seek his wisdom. Why? Why do you need wisdom? So you make the right decisions. That's what the whole thing is about. Everyone shall also exercise himself in reading the scripture twice a day, that he shall be ready to give an account of the proficiency therein of whatever he's studying. Both in theoretical, boy, that's a whole different thing when we talk about what we're talking about today, about seeking wisdom and understanding. We have failed in the last 40 years to teach our children how to think. They don't know how to process anything. They just take whatever's shoved out and they thank it for the truth, and they don't know how to analyze it. They don't know how to ask it. They don't know how to look at it and say, well, wait a minute, something's wrong with that. That's exactly what that means, being able to do that. Theoretical observation. You know, you need to know what is an objective truth and what is a subjective truth. An objective truth is one of the things that was in the Constitution. We hold these truths to be self-evident. Everybody knows this. You don't even have to go to school to realize this. And that's exactly what it's talking about here. Understanding, being able to figure those things out. 52% of the 17th century Harvard graduates became preachers. Boy, has it changed now? Boy, has it changed now. Princeton in its early days insisted that every faculty member be convinced of the necessity of religious experience for salvation, that you know how to be saved. The faculty. Boy, that's brand new, isn't it? The first president of Princeton University said this, "Cursed be all learning that is contrary to the cross of Christ." Now in the university system, basically everything's contrary to the cross of Christ. I mean, basically. And even in some of our so-called Christian settings, it's the same thing. Cursed be all learning that is not subservient to the cross of Christ. Do you think it's gone down? Boy, it's to the bottom. All kind of denominations. Our Southern Baptist Convention, I don't really know what's going to happen yet. We're right there on the verge of it collapsing again. You know, it went to the pits back in the 40s and 50s when liberalism came out of Germany. We recovered in the late 80s, and now it's only been, what, just since 88. Is that 30, how many years? Not many. We're right on the verge right now going back to liberalism where, there is no absolute truth. It's just all up to you, whatever is truth is to you. And that's what you're going to hear in the school that you're going to. I don't care what school you're going to, unless it's an absolutely conservative Christian school. Any university system you go to, they're going to say, oh, no, there are no absolute truth. Everything is subjective. You get to decide what is truth. That's not what Proverbs said. We're going to read it quick if I hear him getting there. There's too many preachers that have jettisoned the faith and get paid for it. You know, I could read you all kind of stuff that these people say. And you say, wait a minute. You know, they get up there and they preach from the Bible, but they don't believe the Bible's true. What is that about? You know, that's ridiculous is what that is. The critical view of today is that the gospel miracles represent the crude ideas of a superstitious age. And they, to that extent, we can't trust them. You know, basically that's where we are in Christendom in America. If you still believe the scripture and people that are going to the university, you need to figure a couple of these things out before you get there. Because everything they do there is going to undermine the very fact that you believe God is real and truth is from his Bible. You need to figure that out and understand your foundation. And if you don't really know that, somebody in here that's older than you has some wisdom to help you figure that out. One thing we've seen with Meredith going to college is she has reminded us of how much new students have no clue of what is going on in the world when they get there. And thank the Lord she's had enough ability to look at something and analyze and say, well, this is crazy. And they don't even see it. Why? Because nobody's helped them. It's our responsibility. You know, you got one of these kids that's going off and you got some means to try to encourage them and help them. So what happened? If we're not careful, that's why so many so-called believers that are 18, they leave the church, they go into the university system, they get out of the university system and they're atheists. Why? Nobody's taught them how to understand these things, the wisdom to figure this thing out and understand, oh yeah, there is, you know, he mentions in his book, I think I put a few of those words up there. I was kind of astonished that in the first chapter he was talking about, because he came through the system whenever everything on the college campus was John Lennon, you know, the nowhere man. You know, everything's subjective, existentialism, there is no absolute. You get to decide if there anything is true, and so all your life is based around it. And along pops up Bob Dylan. Anybody know Bob Dylan? Did you know in 2016 he won the Nobel Peace Prize for literature? What? Yes! And you know one of the songs that really made it all possible? How many roads must a man walk down? What's the name of that song? Anybody know? What? Blowing in the Wind. He absolutely went totally against all the existentialism. He said, oh yeah, it's out there. You just got to see it. How many times are you going to have to see this before you realize this is the truth? And if you don't understand that people going into the system, that's exactly what will happen. John Lennon was, can you imagine there is no this? And he said, oh, it's not hard. You're not, you know what he was, right? A nothing. He was living by the faith of his crazy, I don't know what she believed, wife. He tried to make a little dent one time to Christendom. You remember, did you read that little paragraph? It didn't last long. And so this is what you have going on. And it's the same thing now. They just don't call it existentialism. They call it freedom. Oh, you don't need to be bound by all those old rules that you taught or you were heard. You know, you get to decide for yourself because there is no absolute. All right. This is an introduction. We got to keep going, all right? This is a direct quote from John Piper. The path of God, exalting joy, will cost you your life. If you want to be happy for the rest of your life, basically that's what that means. And God created us to be happy. He did not create us to be miserable, absolutely. If you live gladly to make others glad in God, not for yourself, your life will be hard. Your risk will be high, but your joy will be full. That's what Jesus said, right? We're not to be concerned about how to avoid a wounded life, but how to avoid a wasted life. So you won't look back 30 years later and say, how much time did I waste? Why didn't I do all this? Why didn't I analyze this? Why didn't someone tell me? You know, there's a lot of things I wish somebody would have told me when I graduated from high school that no one told me. That no one told me. I was not in a Christian family, so there was none of this in the background to say, you know, you might want to do this, you might want to do this. Thank the Lord God, He spared me from a lot of those crazy things that I could have done, and I didn't. But it's just by His grace. Just by His grace is all. Some of us might die in our allegiance to Jesus. If America goes the way it's going now, we'll probably start seeing that in America. We don't see it now. It's all over the world, but we don't see it. You say, well, that'll never happen here. Yeah, whoever said before 1970 we'd be killing babies either? Who would have thought that in 1950? Huh? From a nationwide standpoint, I'm talking about. But that will not be a tragedy. The tragedy will be you treasure this life more than eternity with Jesus. That's the question. That's where the wisdom comes in. What am I going to do? How am I going to think? How am I going to prepare? Will I waste my life? He says in Mark, whosoever would save his life will lose it. And whosoever has loses life for my sake and the gospel's sake will save it. There's something worse than dying. It's wasting your life. That's exactly what he says when he says that. Here it is. Here's that poem. Only what's done for Christ will last. C.T. Studd was a world-renowned cricket player. Any of y'all ever play cricket? Any of y'all? It's a whole, I don't know how it works, but it's like baseball. For us in America, it's like baseball. And he was good. And he walked away from what could have been more than what he did do for Jesus' sake. And this is what he said that influenced him. The title of the poem is Only One Life. He said, two little lines I heard one day, traveling alone, life's busy way, bringing conviction to my heart and from my mind would not depart. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Soon will its fleeting hours be done. Then in that day, my Lord to meet and stand before his judgment seat. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. When this bright world would tempt me sore, when Satan would a victory score, when self would seek to have its way, then help me, Lord, with joy to say, only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Wow. Only one life will soon be past. You don't know when you're going to die. You don't. People are dying every day under 30 years old in good shape. And all of a sudden, they're just dying. So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart for wisdom. That's what this whole thing is about. Graduates and graduators that's been graduated for 40 years. What can we do to get wiser tomorrow than we are today? You know, we never quit learning, right? We can. America's colleges and universities have absolutely ruined themselves and are decimated today. You say, well, that doesn't sound very promising because I'm fitting a good one. I'm just saying you need to get ready because that's what you're going to face. I mean, it is totally different than it was when it began at Princeton and Harvard. And that's exactly what I told you. I got it in here twice, huh? Let's hurry up because we got to get to the end. Will I waste my life? That's the question. What am I going to do now? So then 20 years from now, if I live 20 years, I won't look back and say, boy, I wasted those 20 years. I sure wish I could have done this different. I wouldn't have wasted that. Is the first thing in our life to be a godly person? Is that something you think about? No matter how old you are. You can still try to be more godly when you're 80. You don't have to be 18. Or are you trying to be successful? You know, we have to hurry, all right? Are you more consumed with material things than spiritual things? That's one of those questions. You know, everybody's not going to go to college. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, I thought about it. My graduating class in 1976, to my knowledge, only four of them left high school and went on to college. Some of them, I don't know, might have been like me 10 years later then go back and go to school, but right out of high school, they didn't. So that's not a good percentage. Not everybody's going to go to college. Not everybody needs to go to college. Why? Because it's not for everybody. You know, we seem to think that, you know, in order to get wise, be wise, and be successful, you got to go to college. Not necessarily. How about Elon Husk? Musk. Husk. Did he finish college? No. Do you look at him and say, well, this boy's pretty sharp. He knows more than our old NASA government all put together, right? He said it was a waste of time. Dennis Prager, who was a brilliant mind, a Jew by faith, but a brilliant mind, he said, you know, I quit writing my dissertation because I realized I could do so much more in helping this instead of just putting all this stuff down on paper. There's more to it than that. It's not for everybody. Some people it is. Some people it's not. But the world is trying to sell us, oh, if you're going to be successful, you've got to go to the college. Not necessarily. I don't want to downplay that. I've got more formal education than I want. And if I look back, I'd do some of it different. Some of it ain't worth it. You know, you learn some stuff along the way, but you really look at it and you say, okay. That's not what makes you wise. We got to get to the verse, all right? Boy, this is it. The lust of the flesh, the pride of life, what we have, what we do, what people think of us. The world says, oh, you got to be somebody. And if you don't go to the seminary or you can't go to the university, you're not going to be anybody. Right? Here it is. Here's our verses. Proverbs 4. Hear, my sons, the instruction of a father. Boy, that's a novel idea, isn't it? You mean you're going to listen to your dad? He's a buffoon. You know, that's what the radio says. I mean, that's what the television programs for the last 15 years, that's what they show. What is dad on the television show? He's just a buffoon who gives money. We don't listen to him. We don't respect him. He doesn't have anything. That's a picture of where we are in America, basically, unfortunately. Hear, my sons, the instruction of a father. Intend to know understanding. Here's something you need to learn if you don't know this yet. Just because you know a lot of stuff, if you don't understand how that works out in your life, you don't know anything. Ephesians says what? Wisdom is the ability to take knowledge, things that you know, and to practically understand how they work out in your life. You're not going to get that in the university. You might get the knowledge, but you won't get that practical wisdom that you need, and we're going to see how that comes. There's some certain things we have to do for that to happen. And he taught me, and he said unto me, let thy heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Learn how to think. Don't just try to go to Google and get every answer, because half the things they put out there are not even right. Go somewhere and figure the thing out, understanding. Have the knowledge and then figure out, how does this work out practically in my life? Is it good? Is it bad? That's wisdom. He said, that's what it is. Understanding. Forget not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake not her. She will preserve thee. Love her and she will keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, the main thing. Go after it. Wisdom. How to assess something, how to look at something and say, you know, based on the knowledge I have, based on this, I think this is probably what I should do. That's wisdom. Y'all know any wise people? You know, my dad only went to the fifth grade. And in many, many, many situations, he died more wiser than I am now. And I've had more education than I don't want to even talk about. Why? Because through a lot of practical daily stuff, you just have to say, this is how this is going to work out. Wise. Be wise. You know, some of that comes with experience, though, right? You know, you have to experience. If you're paying attention, you make the same mistake 50 times, then you haven't learned anything. So your experience hasn't done anything for you. Isn't that right? So just because somebody comes to your place and you're going to hire them and say, well, I got 20 years experience. Well, what did you learn in 20 years? Are you any smarter than you were when you started here 20 years ago or when you started your job 20 years ago? With all that getting, get understanding. That's one thing Meredith has reminded us of, that she's learned about these kids in college. They don't know what it means to seek out something, analyze it, and see through something. They just take for granted what's being taught them. Thank the Lord she sees it. She's been applying stuff for a few years, and she can look at this thing and say, that's kind of crazy. And they don't think anything about it. Why? They don't have to, you know how it is. You see it every day. You go somewhere and you start to pay something and you give them cash and you realize, you know, I do have 20 cents. Let me give you this. And you say, let me just give you this and this 15 cent and you don't have to give me a change back. And they just kind of, what? What? I can't do that. I said, oh, that's okay. Just take it out of that. What? What does that show? They understand nothing about that whole concept of math. If you can't get subtraction and adding, whoa. I don't know if they teach that anymore, do they? In a lot of places, they don't even teach you to. They made us learn the multiplication tables. Didn't you hate that? I'm not a math person. I hated it then, but I had to do it. I still know some of it. I don't know all of it. But, you know, when somebody gives me change, I can look at it and say, well, that ain't right. Well, the computer's not showing me that, so I don't know what to do. Y'all ever been there before? And you realize it, and you say, this person's 30 years old. But you don't want to embarrass somebody. Say, just take it out of what I gave you. Don't worry about it. That's exactly what we're talking about. No understanding. No analyzing. You just go through the motions. And some of them have a college degree. Surely you can't get out of college and not. Yeah, you can. You can get out of high school and not how to read. You can sure get through all that mess. Just because you got a degree doesn't mean you know anything. Some people are just good at taking tests. Were you one of those? No. Exalt her and she will promote thee. She will bring thee to honor when thou doest embrace her. Wisdom, understanding. That's it. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. How can you be wise? We're going to jump into that real quick. I've led thee in the paths of uprightness. When thou goest, thy steps shall be straightened. And if you run, you will not stumble. Wise. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. You know, I believe, basically, all people want to be happy. You know, I believe that. Would y'all agree with that? Now, they don't know what real happiness means, because they usually try to do something to bring them happiness in their life that does not last. But by and large, they, you know, I want to be happy. Want to have joy. You know, God wants us to be that way. He wants us to be. But the problem is, we try to get that happiness by the wrong thing that doesn't bring any honor to God, so it doesn't last, so we end up being miserable. That's the whole process of what he's talking about here. We're going to jump to the end. Because there's a lot in the middle here that we didn't realize that we wouldn't have time to do anything about, all right? You know, Solomon, whenever he prayed, when he became the leader, he said, God, what did he ask for, remember? Give me wisdom to govern your people. Okay? Now, think about this a moment. Never in the Old Testament do you have instructions for Solomon when it comes to the point where it said, okay, Solomon, when this one day whenever these two harlots come and you got to decide, this is what you do. Is that in there? No. What happens is you take the Word of God that you know with some practical things that the whole Bible teaches you, and you'll be able to assess the situation and say, this is what we should do. That's wisdom. Was Solomon always wise? If you got 700 wives, you're not wise. No. No, that was economics. You know, he needed those wives to bring in more money and freedom with the rest of his adversaries. So, you know, basically it really didn't have anything to do with a personal relationship with his wife. I mean, so all that's wrong. So was he always wise? No. But you see how that works? You had to take the whole counsel of God, and as you practically go through that, then when the situations arrive, in the, you know, the Bible doesn't just say, Terry, don't go to Zaxby's today. It doesn't say, you know, don't go to Dunkin' Donuts or don't go to Krispy Kreme Donuts today. It doesn't say that. It just says what? Your body's a temple. You be careful. So I started to assess the thing and say, how does this work now? You see how that works? There's no most of the things we have to deal with, wisdom helps us, but there's not where it just says in the Bible, you do this today. You know, I've known people and they say, well, God told me to come here and eat today. I say, okay, all right. He doesn't direct me that specific, you know? And that's the way this is. Wisdom is being able to look at all of this and say, based on what we know from God's word or over here, then we know this is probably what we need to do if it's honoring God. How do we get there? Let's go to the end of it, all right? It's our responsibility. It's not okay for you to be an idiot. There's no reason for it. Your fingertips has how much of the world's knowledge out there that you can look at and say, and you got to assess it now, because there's a lot of lies out there, but there's no reason for you to not know more than you know. How many free Bible programs are there? How many? Well, I don't know. What are you doing with your time? Huh? It's not, and it's free. You know what I would have given for one of those Bible programs when I was in Bible college? We were still using a typewriter. You know, we didn't even have a letter typewriter. So Google and all that, and you know, that's a cheap way to cheat. That's all it is. You know, understanding is sometimes you got to dig out and say, how is this going to work? Should you go get an education? Absolutely. I'm not against education. I got more education than I wanted. You know, I was so against school in my early days. And then God said to me, Terry, if you think I'm calling you to stand before people, then you need to know everything you can about how to decipher my word, because I'm going to hold you accountable for that. And that is the only reason. Even in the middle of all school, I still hated it. You say, well, I don't think I'm going to go to school. It's not for everybody. Just be wise. Again, you can see countless people that God used in a mighty way. Dwight L. Moody. You know what they said about him, right? They call him an ignorant person because he didn't use English very well. And look what he did. What God used him to do on two continents. You know, he didn't waste his life, though. And that's his wisdom. Teach children how to think. Teach them how to think. Just because somebody says something, how do you validate that? You know? And that's what Meredith has seen. A lot of these kids, they do well in class, but they don't know how to assess something and look at something. They just take what somebody says and say, well, wait a minute, that can't be right. It's the same thing here. To be wise, it means understanding how the process works and what you need to do. We need to hurry and go to the end. How do we do that? Do we need wisdom? Yes, we do. Then how do we get it? Because we're responsible for it. So how does that work exactly? You know, now this day and time, it seems to think, well, if you're going to be successful, you've got to go to one of the universities and get a degree. Or, again, I know guys with PhDs, and they ain't got enough sense to get out of rain. They don't guarantee anything. Now, if you're dealing with a specific subject and the school can teach you about that so you can then analyze everything and understand it so you can do what you're supposed to, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying education is wrong, but don't think education alone is going to make you wise. Because it's not. It'll cause you to lose your faith in this day and time if you're not extremely careful. So be careful with that. How does it work? What does it mean? How do we do it? How do we acquire wisdom? It says, happy is the man who finds it and gets, again, there's that word again, understanding. Do you know how to think? Do you know how to process stuff? You know how to get to the bottom of something? How does that work? Who gets wisdom loves himself. It'll help you if you learn how to be wise, if you pay attention to some things that are going on. The ultimate eternal happiness is what wisdom will bring. That's what he says throughout it. Folly is in joy to him that has no sense. You know, we got to go, all right. Where is that? Where is that? What is wisdom? Oh, how about that? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, isn't it right? And you know what that means? It's not that you're afraid of God. It means that you're afraid to go outside of him for anything else in your life. You're afraid to leave him out of your life. Not that you're afraid of him. You're afraid to be removed from him. That is the beginning of wisdom. That's where it leads. All right, we're going to come to it one day here. I got five things for you. Well, look at there. A wise person is humble. You know what that means? You don't know everything. Can you teach somebody who knows everything? When do you know everything? About 16? 14? It's getting younger now, ain't it? 12? 5? Humility says, I don't know everything, but I want to know God. Help me see how that works. What is it going to do? It's the foundation for all these other things that go together. You can't teach a proud person anything because they know everything. A good definition of godly wisdom would be hearing, understanding, and doing. Not just hearing it. Understanding what it means, how it's supposed to affect your life, and then go do it. That's exactly what it is, the prescription for our happiness. Well, where is that? Good night. How many slides did I have? Huh? Oh, here it is. To get wisdom, do you want it? That's the first thing. Do you want to be wise? That's going to cost you. You just rather be a fool. You don't really care, do you? If you want to be wise, you got to desire it. Do you want to? That's part of it. You got to apply yourself. You got to see what God's word says because that's the main guide. And then you understand by counsel from other wise leaders, God people, how does this work out? And let them help you. That's exactly what it is. To get wisdom, ask God. What did Solomon do? He asked God. He said, God, give me wisdom. God, I need some wisdom. Give me wisdom on how to handle this. What do I need to do? That's exactly what he said. And that's exactly what happened. This is a big one. In order to get wisdom, you got to remember you do not know how long you're going to live. That you constantly remind yourself, death is just right around the corner and I don't know when it's coming, so I want to not waste the time I have. I want to use it wisely. Everybody's scared to think about dying. If you get right with Jesus, you say, well, I don't understand it all, but I'm going to trust him. That's where you start. That's what it is. How many people now are dying under 30 that are in perfectly good health and no explanation? You just don't know when it's going to happen. But think about that. God, I don't know. I might die tomorrow. How can I not waste my time today for your glory? When's the last time you thought about that? When you get up in the morning, you say, God, what can I do today? If I make it through the day, what can I do that I won't waste it for your sake? Pretty awakening. Teach us to number our days that we may have a heart of wisdom. Absolutely, the last thing is, without Jesus, you'll always be a fool. Well, that's not very nice. That's just the way it goes. It says, the fool has said in his heart, what? There is no God. So the opposite of that is you start with Jesus. If you want to be wise, you start, Jesus, I need you. I want to be wise, not only just for myself, but my family and everybody that's around me. I need you to help me. That's where you start. Because without Jesus, you might get a lot of worldly understanding, but you really won't have any godly wisdom that can give you joy in this world when everything's falling apart. You know, just because you're wise doesn't mean you don't have problems. Just because you're wise doesn't mean you don't lose your house. All kind of things happen to us outside of our control. But he says the wisdom that God gives will help us have that joy that God wants us to have in this life. Kids going to school, work some of this out before you step foot on campus, because you're going to be confronted with it if you haven't already. I'm sure you have already a lot in high school. You need to nail some of this down, or it'll be easy to slide off the track. Let's pray. Lord, we're just grateful that you love us, that you have a plan, that you want us to be happy, that you give us exactly what we need. You write out the prescription for us, what we need to do in our life so that we can have joy in this life regardless of what is going on around us. Father, I just ask you to help us all, young and old, those that are going off to college, those that have been out of college for a long time, that you would arrest our attention, that we would daily look at our life and say, what can I do today that will not be a waste, but will attribute to your glory? Thank you for your mercy and grace. In Jesus' name, amen.